Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C Squared. Then I jumped on the bandwagon. I'm your host, Aaliyah, and this is Heavy Business, a podcast where we talk to music industry professionals and musicians and learn together about the music industry, marketing, and other tools that can help you promote the music you put so much effort into creating. Hello and welcome. This is Heavy Business. I am Aaliyah.
And I'm Curtis.
Today we are here with the queen of Scandinavian gothic metal, Liv Christine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining me.
I see you have a cup of coffee, perhaps? A beverage? Yeah. I had my coffee this morning.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're like, it's 2 p.m. here in Switzerland. And I just arrived from work. I'm a teacher in Swiss primary school for kids with special needs, and I just arrived. coffee time.
yes. So we're gonna get into it, and you have quite some history in the metal scene. You are one of the OG female vocalists in metal, and I would just love to dive into your journey. If you would take us back to the beginning and tell us how you started singing and how you got involved with metal.
It all started with the fact that I was a late talker, and I just loved closing the doors and spending time with music. That's as far as I can remember. When I heard Ozzy, Black Sabbath, Montserrat Caballé, ABBA, I was just taken away to a place where I felt like being in a magic bubble. And there wasn't much talking, as I said. So linguistically seen, I was a kind of a silent kid. But what I did was sing. I always felt that that's my language. So I spent a lot of time with music and singing. And when I was in my teens, I met Raymond and Hein Rode and the guys of Theatre of Tragedy. And back then, girls were mainly keyboard players in bands, but I couldn't play the keyboard, but I could sing quite well. So next to the girls, I was allowed to do some soprano singing, which turned into more soprano singing. And in the end, I was the main singer of the band, next to Raymond, of course. So there was a balance there between the growls and the soprano voice, and the music itself too was kind of inventive. So we got ourselves a record deal, and we would never plan this. We went on tour, we recorded an album, and we worked with the label Massacre Records that supported us well back then, and we were in good hands. And we played lots of shows, and parallel to this, I started singing working on my solo career. That was in 1998, my first album, Deus Ex Machina. And later on, there was Leaves Eyes as well. So it's been like, I think we have 17 albums later. We are 17 albums later now. And I'm going to release my sixth solo album on the 21st of April, which kind of feels like my first album in my second life half. It's a very, very special release to me.
Yep. Yeah, it's sort of a rebirth. And yeah, it's really a beautiful album. And as I got into metal around, like, I was kind of a late bloomer, and I didn't really discover metal until college. And it was like 2008-2010-ish frame when I got into it, and I was really into your Theater of Tragedy work was some of the first female vocals I was exposed to in metal, and I can still hear that influence in this new record, and I realized that was because Tommy Olsson was responsible for the music compositions, and it's just cool to hear that thread pulling through still. What is the story of how you started working with Tommy again?
Ah, Yeah, Tommy is my favorite composer. And we released Aegis back then with Theatre of Tragedy, and I thought already back then it's a masterpiece, and it was an honor for me to be part of that production and of that release. Tommy left the band after the album, after that one album, and we didn't really have much contact throughout the next 10 years. And then all of a sudden, Tommy got in touch and he said, "Hey, your voice really fits my compositions. What about working together? Do you need any help?" And I was like, "Yes, sure." Because that was that year, 2015, when 2016, when my life kind of changed a lot. And I had to get myself back on track, start a new life with my family, and move away, and I split with my labor partners and got my rights back. And but I was so busy fixing my private life and the difficult situation I was in, that it took Tommy and me, we're 9 years later, right? We're 9 years later. It took a while to get stuff fixed, but as soon as my mind was clear and focused, I could let that creative process run through me. And Tommy's compositions are magic to me because he leaves that space for me to develop my melodies and my words. So I wrote a book in this album, through this album. If I wouldn't have released this album, I would have released a book. So it's a very, very important step in my life to get this album released now. And Tommy has been so patient throughout these years, and I love him for that. And he's been amazing. He's been highly supportive all the way.
Can you kind of go over with us, like, okay, so you have had this long career for quite a while. What do you feel like is your legacy at this point? Because like, there's so many different things. You got the Theater of Tragedy, you got Leaves' Eyes, you got Nymphedamine, you got all sorts of things. Like, what do you actually feel is your legacy at this point?
My legacy is coming home. My personal process has been picking up the pieces and going inside the dark night of the soul. And I made the experience that I had to go through this. I had to make this experience to see the light in the darkness. It's been a healing process to work on this album. It's been a healing process to write my lyrics, to start singing again. I actually tried to stop singing. And when I met my new husband Michael in 2019, I had actually decided to stop singing. There were compositions of Tommy on my laptop that were there. But I was like, okay, there is just nothing happening, no signs of creativity, and I didn't have a clear enough mind to let this process, the creative process, run through. I was looking for something authentic. I was looking for something, for a space where I could get back on my ground, to feel a safe ground again, to feel grounded, yes. And then I thought, okay, if I'm going to release an album, because my Michael, of course, he was very worried about me not singing, because he knows that that's a very huge part of my authentic self. And so he gave me the courage to continue and to work on the songs, on the beautiful tracks of Tommy. And he is actually the one who gave me the courage to come back. So there's been this process of coming home as an artist, as well as coming home being the person I am, and to settle again. And it feels great to be 47 years old, living in a new country, having a new job, as well as releasing an album. So my legacy is coming home, and in a much more authentic way than I've ever felt so far.
I like that answer.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
I also had a follow-up question. So just on the business end of things, so like you mentioned, you're very busy by the sound of it. You got a full-time job, you got family and all the rest of that. So how does one kind of keep the business end of things going with the music career in between everything else that you got going, if that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, in 2016, when my life kind of changed, everything was a mess. The first thing you have to do when you're out of your band, you need to find a financial source. So then I was lucky to actually find a job as a teacher, and I've always loved teaching. I didn't study to become a teacher. I studied something else. I studied languages and language acquisition and Asian languages. But still, it was during the COVID times. It was it felt like a great support to have a steady income, to have a job, because schools were open somehow. Even if there was homeschooling, we still were teaching. So, and what happened next to that during COVID time was that Karmasonic came into existence, and I got in touch with a lot of beautiful people who were eager to strengthen their voice, be it the inner voice, you know, solving traumas, dissolving traumas, dissolving blockages, or maybe learning something about a special singing manner like jazz, or like Baroque classical singing. So many people got in touch with me during that period. So teaching became part of my life, and I just don't want to be without it. So now, going through the COVID times, I'm fully busy with teaching, but still, this diamond, this, you know, this beautiful thing about being able to release an album, to be part of a production, to go on stage, and all that. It's something that belongs to my magic bubble, that magic bubble I kind of experienced when I was a little girl standing in front of the mirror with a hairbrush in my hand and trying to sing like Montserrat Caballé. So, yes, I feel blessed with everything I've got. And if there is a chance to play more concerts now, I'd love to do that. And it's all about balance, I think, so that you don't get worn out. In the past, I quite often felt like, okay, being on tour for 7 weeks and then home for 4 days and then go out again with family and kids on tour. Rough times, yeah.
Sure. Those
were rough times. So I'm glad to kind of, I don't want to sound like a control freak. I'm not, but it's great to have control of the things that you love in life, and to let that grow, and that makes so much sense for me, and it gives me a lot of purpose to stay with everything that I love, everything that belongs to my heart, everything that is authentic, and that is singing and teaching.
Are you willing to talk for a few minutes about the singing coaching?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. Can you kind of explain that? Like, can someone brand new come to you? How does this work?
Yes, definitely. It's for everybody. My youngest student is a girl. She's 5, and my oldest student is 55, I think.
Nice.
55. Yeah, so it's for everybody, and especially those who come with a question, I'm not a singer. Can I learn to sing? Can I sing? Is it possible for everyone to sing? Yes, it is. It's definitely possible. And it's one very interesting story. I recently gave master classes in Cyprus, and half of the audience was singers, and the other half were, like people who wanted to strengthen their inner voice and to see how could I actually sing outside of my shower space. And my husband Michael, who did Pictured Within with me on the album, that was not planned, and he never got any singing coaching from me. And Michael's father died last summer. He passed away, and Michael finds a lot of healing in music, like me. And we drove to the studio, and I had decided to cover this song kind of as a present to my husband, because we both love John Lord and Deep Purple. And in the studio, my husband said, "Hey, could I try to join you on this song?" So it became a duet, and he'd never been in front of a microphone before. He's never been on the stage. So my answer to that question, can I sing? Can I ever learn to sing? Is yes, definitely. So if you feel the passion for it, you can do it. And that's my job, to teach you how to do that, to find courage. And I experienced myself how it is when you don't have a strong inner voice, when you actually feel like there is no voice. I don't have a strong voice whatsoever. It has to do with boundaries. It has to do with your worths and values. It has to do with dissolving blockages. And so I work holistically. And for some people, that's the main thing. That's what we do. We have a look. We take a look at the whole thing. You as a person, and how can we reach that voice? How can we get to that? And then we exercise, exercise, exercise. And but there are some people who just want to, learn how to, or maybe perfectionize special singing manners, which is also a lot of fun. So it's for everybody. Karmasonic is for everybody. It's in my karma to teach this and to guide you. And sonic is about sound. And Karmasonic was something that just came up, during a run 6 years ago. It's Karmasonic, and then it happened. So it's a manifestation, and it's here. It's here, and I'm grateful to meet beautiful people, all to have met and meet people, beautiful people all over the world, strengthening, being part of their strengthening their voices.
Love it. I got one more follow-up on that before Aaliyah just asked. Oh, what are you going to say, Aaliyah?
I think we need to move into talking about the album.
Fair. I'll be quiet then.
But that is basically what I wanted to talk about with the voice lessons, because it is such a it's an interesting balance, right? Trying to balance technicality and tapping into the emotion and finding your voice, which I think you have such a distinctive voice, beautifully distinctive, and it's cool to hear how you teach people to find their inner voice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. But let's dive into talking about River of Diamonds. Really want to talk about this album in a little bit more depth here. Can you tell us a little bit about the name River of Diamonds?
Yes, it's actually based on an episode 3 years ago. We rented a camper during the COVID times and went into the wilderness, and my husband and I were just laying in the grass and just staring at the night sky, and we saw a river of diamonds. And then in 2021, 2022, things really dissolved. Things that knots and blockages and old traumas dissolved. I kind of yeah, I saw that there is a huge light at the end of the tunnel, and it's in the darkness that you see the diamonds shine. And it's to me personally, I have come to the point where I can say my experience has made me the person I am today. And there was, at some point there was, you know, I knew, I've always known that there is light at the end of the tunnel, but there were times which were really, really rough. And then that one diamond, you know, just that one diamond, spending, you know, a wonderful weekend with my son, or just meeting somebody beautiful during your walk, or you know, just or just enjoying that super sweet mango, and just enjoying the here and now. Those are the diamonds, and you see them when you come from the, when you're in the darkness. And I would like to give everybody the courage in whatever situation you are in, and you feel stuck. If you make it through, there's going to be a lot of beauty and a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. I say there is something that happens between birth and what we call death, and that is called life. And life is both broken and beauty. If you can accept both, you'll experience that river of diamonds.
Absolutely beautiful. I think it's really cool that you're telling the story through the words of the album, and you've chosen some people to share that with in the form of guest features. Number one notable being your husband that you spoke about on Pictured Within, but some others as well, and Fernanda from Moonspell, as well as your sister. And I just wanted to ask you what you have in mind and how you decide who you collaborate with on specific tracks.
It's the frequency of the track, it's the emotion. If I feel like, okay, this is a song for my sister and myself, it's about, you know, being just being high about life itself, because you love life and you've come home to yourself, you feel authentic, you feel free, you feel light, you feel bright. That's just, you know, when I meet my sister every now and then, she lives in Norway, I'm living in Switzerland, and when we meet, we're just like, okay, let's just have a good time together, and we laugh a lot, and you know, we have this black humor from the west coast of Norway. So yes, it's the frequency of the song, the emotion of the song, which decides which guest vocalist I would invite as my duet partner. And with Fernando, it was like he's been a great support throughout the years, throughout the latest 8-9 years where times were rough, and he's always been a great support, and he's like, if you ever coming back, I'm here to help you, and where are you, and can we meet up? And he's been lovely, and that song is just perfect for Fernando's voice and my voice, and you have this real traditional gothic style duet with the light and darkness and the contrasts, and then everything melts together in the end, and it's you know, it's just perfectionism. So I'm very happy that Fernando said yes, of course I'm helping you out and I'm joining you, and he loved the songs as well, and we're just making a video for the track as well, so you'll have something beautiful to watch very soon.
I am so happy to hear that. I was wondering if we're going to get any more videos. There are a couple out. There's a lyric video, and there's one music video as well for people to check out. Curtis, do you have any follow-ups on the album?
I don't. Well, actually, yeah. What are your expectations for people to get out of this album in comparison to the rest of your output, out of curiosity?
I just hope that this river of diamonds can reach as many people as possible on this planet, because it's an uplifting experience, and I'm not. I think it is experience. And this album is not made for me, it's made for you. Well, it's made for me, by me, to heal, but the album has a beautiful frequency, and I would like to give you the courage to really grip that moment when you feel that this is something I appreciate, this is something I love, this is a moment which uplifts me, and to accept that, as already mentioned, it's in the darkness where you see the diamonds. I would like to give everybody the courage to really go inside, even if it's the dark night of the soul, go and have a look for those diamonds. And I've never released an album with such a depth, so I hope that this message can reach as many people as possible, even as a healing step or a healing help, or just to enjoy the songs and enjoy the words and sing along and feel free.
Cool.
Do you feel like, I know you, in the Karma Sonic, you mentioned tapping into, using yoga to tap into inner energies and such. Do you feel like that has brought you to where you are today and kind of influenced your lyric writing?
Well, I've been doing yoga since I was 16, and I'm a yoga teacher as well, without an education. But I've always kind of run into situations where I was needed without an education, and then I became a yoga teacher, and yoga saved me, as well as music. And yes, it's an interesting question, because many of my singing students tend to really appreciate the exercises that we do and the breathing techniques that we use for yoga. You find connections between singing and yoga. There is so much in common. So yoga is great. If you want to become a singer, or if you want to strengthen your voice, yoga is great.
Can you tell us a little bit about the business side of things, labels? You've experienced a few. What are some things that you look for, red flags that you might not want to work with a label, or signs that you do want to work with a label?
Times have changed. In the 90s, where Theatre of Tragedy was signed to Massacre Records, I felt that there was support, you still had something to say. There wasn't that much money in the game, which meant that we still had something to say. As the labels got bigger, the money got bigger as well. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we kind of lost. We lost our power to actually express what we really wanted, to be authentic sometimes. Yeah. Not all the way through, but sometimes. It was harder because you always had somebody saying, well, we don't think that's right, and we paid you. So I want to thank everybody who promoted my bands and my so far. Of course, thank you so much for believing in me. But I have to say that now, in 2019, when I got my rights back for Leave Christine, and I picked up the crumbles of Leave Christine, it felt great to have that, and to, you know, to have a look at it and to see what we can do, what we could do with it. And there was definitely interest. There is a community, and I felt like, okay, this is what we got, so let's see what we can do with it, what we can achieve just by ourselves, myself and my husband. And now we signed to Metalville, and I think they have the perfect size for where I am right now in my career. So I feel like it's important to have a look at your career as such? Would you like to give off authenticity? Would you like to give off your right to speak out? Does it matter to you? Or is money the more important thing? And I also experienced, you know, that there was a lot of money in the game, and in the end there was nothing left over. Everybody got paid, but not really the band, because everything was spent. So you really have to be cautious about that. You need to watch it. And I felt like now, standing where I am today with 47 years, it's good to get back to basics and to really watch this thing, Leave Christine, and to see what we can make out of it. So I know the value of it, and I know how precious it is, and I have to be, and I am endlessly grateful towards my community, my fans and friends and followers, because you've been there all the time when I wasn't present, really. I was there with a coffee cup in my hand every once or twice a week. That was all I had to give you, I could give you, and still you're still around. So that means something. So there is a purpose for all of this, and you need to see purpose in all of this, because music industry is a really, really rough industry, especially if you are, like, you know, in the second half of your life, you have your wrinkles. You might not look like the ones who are like 19 or 29, not even 39. So, yeah, you have to trust in yourself. You have to have the courage to really stand out, to show your true colors, right? That's it. True colors, yes. That's why I decided to do this song. As well, because it has a beautiful message. Show your true colors, and that's so important for me, where I am today. And it's about being courageous, yes. And one last thing about the music business is that there's a lot of narcissism, and you really need to set your boundaries. You really need to know where it's a no-go, where there's a no-go, and where, you know, the red lines have been crossed. You really need to know that. It's not easy when you're young. I experienced that myself.
Yeah, I think that's so true, and it does happen sometimes, kind of like people just make music and they don't really have their path set out. They don't know their boundaries, like you said, and people can be taken advantage of when they're not prepared
yes.
for things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's true, yes.
So that's a good point. We are running out of time. I do want to just ask you to share with people where they can get your album, where they should order it, what's available coming up, and anything else that's coming in the future for Live Christine.
Yes, thank you very much. There is a, you can pre-order the album on our homepage and on Facebook. We have an official shop. And I do keep posting news about the upcoming album, and there is always a link underneath where you can go and check out the news. I haven't had the physical album in my hands yet, so I'm really curious to see how that is, how it turned out, and what it feels like. Yes, I'm very happy to share it with you.
That's so exciting. I'll definitely make sure to put all the links and social media information in the show notes. Thanks again so much, Liv, for coming on today. You are an icon, and it's such an honor to have you on our show.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor and pleasure talking to you. I love the questions, and I love the chat with you, and I really hope that we'll get to see each other again very soon, and I wish you both all the best for yourself and for your dearest ones, and thank you for supporting me, and thank you for spreading the news about River of Diamonds.
Thank you so much, and everyone listening, until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by following or subscribing to us, recommending it to your friends, or leaving us a review on your platform of choice. Thank you for listening to Heavy Business, brought to you by C Squared Music.